Well, that does it. I've been in between two possible sermon titles today. The one that's in your order of worship, A Story to Tell. Everybody's got a story to tell. And then there was this other one, Every Soul Needs to Sing. And Reverend Ingram, when you get up there and you sing that classic hymn, Then Sings My Soul, I think, Holy Spirit, you're trying to tell me something. So if you're detail specific, scratch out that sermon title, if you will, and replace it with Every Soul Needs to Sing. This week, I've been on the road again. Two of my beloved friends from Chile were with me, and after spending a week here in Carrollton, we took to the highway, going to my hometown of Pickens, South Carolina, where we were so richly received with my parents, and then to Augusta, Georgia, where my mother and father-in-law likewise gave my friends a royal reception. But it also came at a cost. You see, I was not able to steal away in my study. And instead, I had to etch out this sermon in between car rides and very long and intense conversation, the way Chileans know how to talk, using both Spanish that I was dusting off from 13 years ago and even some English when it just didn't seem to come to mind. But here it goes, as they would say in Chile, a lo chileno. W.B. Yeats, one of the greatest poets of our time, the 1923 Nobel Prize Peace winner in the English language, writes about a man whose fear is this: he worries that his soul will soon be lost. He fears this because he lives in a place and in a time where his soul cannot sing. So he longs to take a mystical voyage to a once historical and real place, the place known as Byzantium, that which was the capital of ancient Christendom. Listen to what this man says. An aged man is but a paltry thing, a tattered coat upon a stick, unless soul clap its hands and sing, and louder sing, for every tatter in its mortal dress. Nor is there singing school but studying, monuments of its own magnificence, and therefore I have sailed the seas and come to the holy city of Byzantium. From this poem today and from the psalm that was so beautifully read to us by Amelia Drummond, I want us all to gather around this one quintessential truth on this Mother's Day. Every song needs to be sung by your soul. Yes, every soul has a song to sing, and every soul must sing so that it can embrace the fullness for which it was created. I see in this song, as in all great songs that we have, a ballad, a story to tell, one that comes and grips you at your heart and brings you into the center of the arena where you know that this is not just mere fiction, but real, lived experience, wherein a person in partnership with the living God goes before himself and reflects back on years past, his current present, and yet dreams still of a future that is yet to come. It is in this story in Psalm 66 where we too are not only invited to hear the song of this man's soul, but are also invited to find the song that is within our own soul, a song that is longing to burst forth in fullest expression, lest we not truly live. But in contrast to the words of Yeats, we need no voyage to some fanciful city. We need only to be in the presence of the living God, to be his people, to live, to breathe, and yes, to speak. I'd like to say that today I think the psalmist shows us that every song worth singing, and dare I say, every song worth hearing, has three key aspects. One is trial. The other is worship. And the third is witness. Can I get one? Trial. That's something that we are all far too often reticent to admit. We think that expressing the reality that we are presently going through a trial manifests a weakness that others would look down upon us for. But the mystery of God in our relationship with Him is that it is not by accident that you and I go through real life trials. It is, in fact, by His own providential design that you and I experience conflict in our lives, literally moments which bring us to our knees and make us ask the most profound question to God that the human heart can muster. Why? Why this trial, God? Why this crucible? Why this process in which I feel pain? Maybe not just physical pain, but emotional, spiritual pain. The psalmist says that in his trials, he's experienced prison, burdens, oppression, excruciating heat, a watery grave. That's not only his personal experience, but it's also a reflection on his own people. People that were in slavery for hundreds of years under the cruel foot of the Pharaoh. People made to make bricks, sometimes for food and sometimes just because or else. This person says, what a trial. But in that trial, there was a promise. He says that through the trial, you and I, like him, are to be purified as by silver. Silver, a precious metal, something of great value, only in as much as the impurities are removed by the crucible, the trial, the moment in which we say, why, God? God says, it's because I'm doing a work within you to bring you to a place of abundance. James chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 writes the following. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I've had many conversations with friends, as you have. I sense a great deal of pride when they speak about their fathers. But when someone speaks about their mother, oftentimes their eyes begin to glaze, brimming with tears, a unique gratitude that wells up from the heart, mind, and soul. I believe it's because in their mothers, they see the personification of perseverance, someone who set to the task and did not let up amongst screaming, hungry babies, defiant toddlers, wayward teens, and sometimes failure to launch adults. A mother knows no surrender, perseverance to the full. And for that reason, we give them praise. But what got them to that point? Nothing less than a trial. Nothing less than a crucible. Nothing less than a process that through which they were released of all impurities and literally sanctified as their role as mother. Perseverance. This is a part of the reason why God sends us through the trial. For when you have experienced trial, and when you come out on the other side with the character of perseverance, you, my friends, have a song that is worth hearing, and you have a song that must be sung. I'm sure, as are many of you are, that in some way, some facet, some detail, you are going through a trial. Perhaps for some of our graduates, it's the "what am I going to do for gainful employment" trial. Lo, how our parents share in this burden, graduates. Perhaps for others of you, it's "what's my identity? Who am I really?" Perhaps for some others, it's "where is my hope?" Whatever your trial is, don't be afraid to state it. "I'm going through a trial," your story can go. And it should continue that God will use it for my good, and that in Him I am never alone. A song worth singing, a song worth hearing, also should have worship. You know, our individual as well as our collective worship are of utmost necessity. And it's not just because the Bible says so, which it does, but it's because your soul is incomplete without it. For a soul to have the song to lift up to others to hear, for a soul to be brimming with possibility and the fullness of life, you as an individual need to have real worship time with Jesus Christ. And we, church, together need to have real worship time as a church family. It was in this that I see the scripture 14 and 15 of Psalm 66. The word "I" is so pronounced and consistent. "I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fats and animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats." I is the key word. You and I individually need to seek the face of God. We need to thirst for it, like it says in Psalm 42, verses 1 through 2. "As the deer pants for the water, thirsts for the water, so my soul longs for you, my God." I found myself in that moment this week when I was on the road. You see, Myers-Briggs represents me as one who is equal parts extrovert and equal parts introvert. I love people. I love being around all of you. But as my wife and my family can attest, there are some times when I just disappear. I find some corner, some innocent and lonely cove on the lake, or some distant trail where I just need to get alone from my thoughts. But lo and behold, as I was traveling with two individuals who had never been in the United States before and spoke not one word of English between the two of them, I was on call 24/7. At one time, I was finally able to break away. It was about 10 a.m. at night. And even though throughout the week I had maintained the regular rhythm of a morning devotion, I had yet really truly been hit by a moment of worship. It's funny how it can come out of nowhere, from the strangest of combinations. Mine happened because I read a book, Breathing Underwater by Richard Rohr, which outlines the 12-step recovery program of recovery for addicts and alcoholics from a Christian perspective. And then on top of that, listening to Angela Prim, the great gospel singer, sing so beautifully, "I said I wasn't gonna tell nobody." For some reason, that combination lit my soul and heart afire. I found myself lost in the worship and wonder of God, and my thirst was quenched. But there's other times when just I alone aren't going to get what I need fully. I need each of you. I need to come along individuals who likewise have a song to sing and a song worth hearing. I need to hear you from the distant corners or the front rows of our sanctuary, bearing forth yourselves the witness and testimony of all that God is doing in your life, whether it be trial or worship or witness. It's in that much that we find the correction and oftentimes the guidance from Scripture. For far too easy it is to try to go at it alone in our lives. Far too easy it is to say that I can do church anytime, any place, anywhere. I can even watch the recording of a Sunday worship. But I'm going to tell you something that I know for a fact. There is no replacement for being here in this shared space of First Baptist Church when you are able to, and receiving the blessing of God and lifting up praises to Him in real life fashion with other brothers and sisters. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 says the following: "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." It was one worship service when I was away in Honduras on a vision trip, when I watched the streaming from another country. A dear sister in Christ, a deacon of our church, Suzanne Wynn, came before this pulpit and delivered a testimony, one in which it was evident that her song was coming forward from her heart and soul, one which reflected the reality of a cancer diagnosis and, through the trial, a new spiritual perspective on God's goodness and grace, and one that ultimately proclaimed victory over cancer and celebration of a new chapter in life. As I watched this worship service, as I heard this testimony, something that could only have been received here from this space, I had tears that streamed from my, not only eyes, but my heart. So grateful to hear that shared testimony of someone that I have known for now a year and a half, but now have heard themselves proclaim the truth and the gospel and the power of Jesus Christ. That, and for so many other reasons, we church say, "Oh, with 1,000 tongues to sing." It's in our collective praise, a story on top of a story, a song on top of a song, that we have to come before God as one and manifest before Him all that we believe to be true. That much goes with this final part of a song, a witness. Can I get one? You know, a key part of your story, and dare I say, your song, is the courage to break the silence. It's an awful lot of courage that is required for you to step forward in faith and sing the song that's within your soul and your heart. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Many people don't do it. In fact, I might argue that one of the greatest sins of the church today is far too many stay deathly silent. I've heard these stories when I've done interviews with family, and I'll ask specifically, "Tell me about their faith." And they'll say, "Well, mama or daddy or grandmama, they were just so private about their faith." I don't condemn the word, but I do profess its danger. Far too often we use the word private because we're simply too afraid to give a witness. But God is with you. And in your heart, God can give you the strength, whether it's the first time you've spoken your faith aloud ever. God can give you the strength to give witness to all that He has done in your life. Verses 16 through 20 say, "Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love for me." In this 175th year of our church's existence, I am looking forward to the next chapter wherein the witness of this church is more stronger than it has ever been before. And in that story and in that song, I've been in conversation with our deacons and our personnel team, as well as our missions team director, to think about how we can help this church bear forth the witness of all that God has done. And together, we have created something that we have great hope and promise for. Its job title will be Mobilization Director. A mobilization director in a part-time capacity and with a 2-year commitment from our church, who will mobilize us, the people of God, to go out and in service to the community of Carrollton, Georgia, commit ourselves to such sincere acts of works of goodness and kindness and grace and peace that people will know that we've got a song to sing, and also we've got a song worth listening to. For that reason, we, alike with the psalmist, will say, "Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me." And in this good news, I want us to proclaim that through the witness of this church, we will always be a people that say, in the name of Jesus Christ, there is hope for your life. Now that, my friends, is a song worth singing. But we don't have to wait till then. It's Mother's Day, a day of family, a day which many of you, hopefully on time to make your lunch reservation, will get around the table, have what I pray to be real conversation, at least for a time, putting your devices face down on the table and looking into the hearts and minds of the people around you. And in that conversation, I hope and I pray that there will be moments for you likewise to say from your story, your song, all the good that God has done for you. And that we might today as a people cut the lines to the anchor of silence and instead ride that Easter tide to allow your heart to speak a story, sing a song, and let it be known that truth, beauty, and power of Jesus Christ are real to you. Now that sounds like a Mother's Day gift that mom, grandmother, and the like will never forget. Good people, as we come to this time of decision, I ask two things. One is that when you sing the words to the next hymn, you mean it. They are, "I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me." Sing it not just with your mouth, but let it be the song that comes from your soul. And lastly, whether it's in this moment or in weeks and days following this service, you will pray in your heart that prayer that's inscribed above your sermon notes. "God, help me to realize your story that is within me, and show me who will listen to it." Let's sing that song together. May we pray. God, help us to let our soul sing here and now, if not ever. And may you also guide us, O Lord, to show us those who are hungry to listen to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand and sing and respond as you feel so led.